Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's good? And welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for March 9th, 2022. I am your host, Janet Garcia, and joining me is Tim motherfucking Geddes. What is good?
Hello there. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi Day. We're hoping for the trailer. I'm feeling good about it, so I'm very psyched on that. But I'm also psyched to be doing the show with you, Janet, because it's been a while. You and I aren't scheduled to be on shows together ever, whether it's Gamescast or PS I Love You Games Daily, any of that stuff. So it's always a pleasure to do a show with you. But this week was unique because normally it's Andy and Bless on Wednesdays, right? But things were happening, so both of them had to do other things. But then yesterday, Andy's like, you know what? I could actually do the show. Do you want me to pop on in your place? And I was like, I'm doing a show with Janet. I'm doing this, Andy. You're going to have to wait your turn to do a show with Janet. So I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited for you to be here. I think when I first signed up for this, it was like me and Greg at one point. I was like, I don't know what's going on. But then I saw it was me and you, and I got pretty excited because I feel like we, even though we don't work together a lot, like on scheduled content, like, you know, sometimes Gamescast, but like, I feel like this is where we really overlap. And like during that era where like Greg was on paternity leave, like we often did shows together. Like usually yeah. If I wasn't doing just the Friday show with Bless, like it was me and you, you know, the information squad formed, the Nintendo information squad. And
love it.
Yeah, it was a fun time. But how have you been? What's been new?
You know, I've been really good. I've been chilling. Gia and my brother have been training for a half marathon. So I've been kind of surrounded by that energy. So I know exactly what you're going through.
Oh my gosh. So yes, for context, and like Tim was asking me this before the show started. So we'll, you know, chit chat a quick at the top and then we'll jump into it. But yeah, I have the marathon coming up. I'm running the LA marathon, which is, I think it's like in 10 days at this point. I'm feeling okay. I do have like one, you know, it's ideally you go in like injury pain free. I do have some foot pain while I'll get cramps at times. That's new. That started at my last big training run at 20 miles. And I felt it again when I did a six. Oh yeah. I'm doing the full marathon. First time ever.
Wow.
People always like mix this up too, where like I run and I talk about distance running all the time and people like either assume that I've definitely done a marathon or maybe they might assume the opposite, but like, they're like, oh, you've never like done one before? I'm like, no, it's like so hard to do 26.2 miles, first time ever. I am feeling okay, but there's definitely like the fear of a pain I've never felt before. And I'm scared. I feel like I'm looking just pain and horror in the eyes. And it's so, the elevation changes so much. I don't know why the last mile is uphill.
That's like a one more phase of the final boss that you just don't want.
You also see, and this is like, you know, if you're listening and you're like a runner in LA, you might have known that they changed the course. I think last year was the first time they rolled out this new course that they have. And everyone hates this course because too, you see the end of you see the finish line at mile 18 and then you keep going, you turn around at mile 22. Like I got beef, so we're gonna see how it goes. But it's my first one. I'm taking the week off after. Like I'm excited and horrified.
Have you done like half marathons?
Yeah. Okay. Like the most I ran before in a race was 15 miles, which that race went terrible. So like that's not a great one to look at. But I've done, I think, two or three half marathons at this point. I've been running for like maybe like 10 years of like differing consistency for those years, like probably really consistently since I was 19. So almost 10 years because I think I'm 28, but I'm actually not quite sure offhand. But yeah.
Yeah. Someone asked me yesterday, like, they're like, yeah, are you 32 or 33? And I was like, fuck, that's a good question. I legitimately don't know. And I had to do the math. Like, and I was like, okay, I'm turning 33.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. 32 seemed right.
No, you're 33.
I'm not 33.
How old am I?
God damn it. Let's talk about some video games.
Because I actually don't. I don't know how everyone's perpetually either 22 or 42.
Yeah, you're right. You're 32.
Media,
you're 32.
So.
Yep.
No.
So let's get into it. Here we got today's stories include Gotham Knights release date, Activision shareholders under investigation, and Final Fantasy's anniversary, and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We try to figure out how old we are. And if you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/wrong. So if anyone knows how old me or Tim is, let us know, because we probably both messed that up. And if you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Use Epic creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support Kinda Funny. To be part of the show, head over to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Some housekeeping for y'all. Yesterday, Greg, Bless, Andrea, and I were in a reveal trailer for Tiny Tina's Wonderland's end game mode called Chaos Chamber, which you can see at kindafunny.com/tinytina. But today, Greg's on the Wondercast at 11 a.m. PT on twitch.tv/gearboxofficial. So check that out. And after this, we have Mike playing Breath of the Wild for the first time ever, raising money for Project Hope benefiting Ukraine. A thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, and Pray. And by the way, for that donation link, you can head over to kindafunny.com/Ukraine if you want to go ahead and get ahead of that and start donating already. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, ExpressVPN, Chime, and Babbel, but we'll talk to you about that later. For now, let's begin. What is, and forever will be, the Roper Report? It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with Gotham Knights is coming, and it's October 25th. We got that release date dropped on Twitter. They're just like, hey, the game's out. Sick. Didn't have anything else. Didn't have, you know, any other additional context. But we do have that release date, and now we're finally starting to see what that fall is looking like. Before we get into, you know, our predictions for the fall, our hype for this game, let me just do a quick back of the box refresher for what this game is. So a reminder that Gotham Knights is an open world action RPG set in the most dynamic and interactive Gotham City yet. In either solo play or with one other hero, patrol Gotham's five distinct boroughs and drop in on criminal activity wherever you find it. Story-wise, in the game, Batman is dead, spoilers, and a new expansive criminal underworld has swept the streets of Gotham City. It's now up to the Batman family, Batgirl, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Robin to protect Gotham, bring hope to its citizens, discipline to its cops, and fear to its criminals. From solving mysteries and connect the darkest chapters in the city's history to defeating notorious villains in epic confrontations, you must evolve into the new Dark Knight and save the streets from descent into chaos. And then some quick like details that have kind of been coming out through the marketing. You know, each character has a distinct skill tree. The co-op is like drop-in, drop-out style, but there's no games as a service element attached to it. And if you want to, you can just play the whole game by yourself. So, Tim, what is your hype level for this game? And what do you think this means for what the fall is shaping up to be? What's going to be the star of the fall season?
The star of the fall, I think, is a question that I don't think we even know the answer to yet. I feel like we don't know what the season's going to kind of shake out to look like. Like, are we going to get Breath of the Wild? Are we going to get Ragnarok? Are we going to get Jedi Fallen Order 2? Like, I feel like there are even games that aren't announced yet that we are probably going to be seeing popping up later this year. So that's really exciting to me. I don't think that Gotham Knights is going to be the star of the fall. Having said that, a couple days ago, we were talking about the Forspoken delay, and I was saying that like it feels right to me. There's just something about it that I'm like, I buy it, and this makes sense, and it's just like a gut feeling. Same thing here. Gotham Knights coming out end of October this year, it feels right to me. I think that there was a lot of conversation around this and Suicide Squad and which comes first and what year are they actually coming. Are they coming this year? Are they coming 2023? Like, where's it at? And I feel like the most likely outcome in my mind was always that Gotham Knights was going to be coming first and this year. And I think that it is going to stick this release date. I don't see this getting delayed again. Of course, anything can happen in this world, but I do think that this is them putting a date on it here is a level of confidence that I think is going to happen for better or worse. I get the vibe that with this level of game, they kind of want it out for fiscal quarters. They want it to get those numbers in. And, you know, Gotham's hot, especially right now coming off the Batman and all of that. Like, so I'm also not surprised that they dropped this unceremoniously just on Twitter, because I feel like they've already kind of put out trailer assets and all that. And I imagine they're busy working on the game and don't want to take time to do more marketing assets this early when the date's so far out. But they did want to get in that zeitgeist of the Gotham fever that's sweeping the streets right now.
The streets of Gotham, some would say. Are you playing this by yourself or with someone?
If I play this, on
who has access and stuff, but you know,
yeah, if I play this, it would be by myself. Probably. I definitely enjoy games solo, when they're this type of thing for sure. So yeah, and I am interested that it's four players, like four playable characters, but it's only two player co-op. That seems like a missed opportunity, but it's probably just baked into the type of game that it is, being more RPG focused than I would have expected. Batman Arkham type game to be before we really saw the first trailer for it.
Yeah, I think I also find that to be interesting where they do have that cut between how many characters you have and how many you can play as it at once. I do think having it more parsed down makes me feel a little bit better in terms of it being both a fun co-op and solo experience. Like, I feel like if it needed more people or had the option to be more people, it'd kind of be more of like a party scenario. And here it's like, okay, I don't think I'm really going to feel as much of the difference playing alone versus with someone. I'd also probably play this alone. Like, maybe, you know, since it's drop in, drop out, depending on what the benefits are or like lack thereof, maybe I could see like me squatting up with like any of y'all if like we're trying to just test stuff out or see how it works, or, you know, Isaiah like jumping into the game or something like that. But yeah, I'm excited for this one. I think here's a question I want to ask. Right now, what the current calendar looks like, and you mentioned there's a lot of unknown things right now. We're still really early in the year. We have no idea what's going on with so many of these like release windowed games. Right now, the calendar is looking like Forspoken, I believe it's October 11th now, Starfield November 11th, and then this October 25th. Of those three games, what do you think is going to have the most excitement about it? What's going to score the highest? What's going to be the thing that, of that chunk in that window, what stands out to you from those three the most?
Janet, real quick, sorry. Can you unplug and replug your mic? There's a little bit of a warble happening. It's very light, and like your audio kind of is like dipping out just a little. Just a heads up.
Sure. How about now? I just fixed it. I just unplugged it and replugged it in.
I mean, yeah, I think that fixed it. Much louder. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay, cool.
There we go. I feel like with those options, and are those just the three games that have confirmed release dates that far in the year?
Yeah, and like maybe there's like something I'm missing there from like, you know, another notable title, but I think those are like the three that are in the fall right now, and then, you know, Stalker 2 is December, so.
Yeah. I feel like out of those, it's undeniably Starfield. I feel like all eyes are on that. I think that is the game that at worst, expectations are that it's going to be pretty good. Like, I think that, like, at worst, it's going to be, oh, it's just another Bethesda game, right? But at best, it's going to be, oh my God, it's the best Bethesda game in decades. Like, I think that's the type of hype levels for Starfield. I think that Forspoken, not so much. Like, I feel like that has the chance of being like, hey, it's way better than we expected. And I think when it comes to Gotham Knights, it's a little bit more similar. I don't think it's quite exactly the same, but it's more similar to what we had last year with Guardians of the Galaxy, where the marketing kind of left people a little bit either confused or like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, but we'll see. And then personally, I ended up absolutely loving Guardians last year. So I think that this game does have the chance to kind of take people by surprise. But I don't know, but we did just have the boss baby himself join us. And hey, you heard the bat signal, because that's how it works here. Kind of funny. He doesn't see shit.
I mainly just came in to tell Janet that her fan is probably on, and that's what's causing the microphone warble that Kevin is here. But yeah, this was a really weird kind of like 6 a.m., you know, hopefully no one's awake for us to see that we're announcing this release date, which I felt was a really weird choice. I think it was Nick Verge who responded to me, who was like, yeah, maybe this was like kind of a shareholder play before March 31st. And it's like, yeah, I get that. But like, if you're going to do a shareholder play where you like want the shareholders to know like, hey, this game's coming, we promise, like do a little bit for the fans, you know, instead of just giving us a JPEG with the date on it. Yeah, I'm confident that it, I think it'll actually hit this October. I think they really want, WB really wants a game this year. It's been 9 years since WB Montreal. Actually, the date that they set will be 9 years exactly since their last game came out, which is insane. And so I'm excited for it. I think October is the perfect kind of time for that, especially with, like, the Court of Owls aspect of Gotham Knights and stuff like that. Like,
I mean, Barrett, like, like it is the perfect time, so much so that we thought it was the perfect time last year when we did the Arkham Files leading into October, hoping, yeah, fingers crossed, this game was going to come out in October. And then, yeah, hey, it is just a year off.
Yeah.
You can always,
yeah,
just watch, yeah, it again.
Yeah, hey, everyone, go check out the Arkham Files, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
It should be playing in the background at all times. Like, there's no reason for it not to be there. It's just an extra tab. It doesn't cost you nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think we were saying this on a different podcast. Like, I don't think it's going to be this, you know, amazing game. It was PS I Love You earlier this week where it's like, I don't think it's going to be in a game of the year conversation. But, like, if it's good, you know, it'll probably be on my personal top 10. But that's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, real talk. I think that's a very good, like, goal for this game for me, is for it to make Barrett's top 10. That'll make me happy. So go get them, WB Games.
Also, I just want to bring attention that, you know, this morning I tweeted out about my love for @meta_cricket. Just like loving to see that little dude just pop up with his reviews every day.
Dude, you're going to kill him. You're killing him right now.
He posted up a, what do you mean I'm killing him?
That post. Who posted that?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, Metacricket posted up a new review. Weirdly enough, randomly, I don't know why they would do this, of Donkey Kong 64, and they said Donkey Kong 64 is not good. Wow. And I just want to say, Metacricket, I see you. You've made an enemy today.
Holy shit, the fire rises.
He's looking at you.
I mean, he said what we were all thinking, I feel like. You know,
it's so Metacricket is the ticket.
You know, you gotta go with what you feel in your heart and your spirit.
Don't do this, guys. You're gonna kill him.
Oh, man, Donkey Kong 64. I mean, I still have not checked out Donkey Kong 64, and I probably will keep it that way. Moving on to our next story. Let's talk about a trio of Activision Blizzard shareholders reportedly under investigation. This comes from Marie over at GameIndustry.biz, who writes, American businessman Barry Diller, David Geffen, and Alexander von Furstenberg are reportedly under investigation for insider trading, having allegedly bought a large quantity of Activision Blizzard shares just ahead of the company being acquired by Microsoft. According to a report from the Wall Street Journal, the three men bought options to purchase 4.12 million Activision shares on January 14th for around $108 million, 4 days before the Microsoft acquisition was announced. Diller, Geffen, and von Furstenberg have links to Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick. Barry Diller, who is Fox's founder, served on Coca-Cola's board of directors alongside Kotick, a role the latter recently stepped down from. Music industry mogul David Geffen is one of Diller's close friends, as they previously worked together at a talent agency, William Morris. And finally, Diller is married to fashion designer Diane von Furstenberg, who is the mother of socialite Alexander von Furstenberg. The situation is being investigated by the U.S. Justice Department, who is looking into, quote, whether any of the options trades violated insider trading laws, the Wall Street Journal reported. The Securities and Exchange Commission is also conducting a separate investigation based on the same suspicions. Diller told the Wall Street Journal that it was simply a lucky bet, adding that the three businessmen acted on no information of any kind from anyone and that this is one of those coincidences. He highlighted that von Furstenberg had already previously acquired Activision stock and that their thought was that Activision would go private or would be acquired at some point. Tim, react.
Jesus, it's like, y'all, don't be doing this ever.
I haven't seen you spiral like this since, God, what was that game that we kept covering every like 10 seconds? Abandoned, right? Was it called Abandoned?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. The Not Kojima game. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord.
Did that come out ever?
No.
They abandoned development. No, they didn't. I have no fucking idea. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But no, this is.
I'm sure
just,
you'll be here when we do.
Yeah, exactly. This is. It's. Don't do this, first off. Second off, y'all, right now, with everything going on, with the amount of eyes on you, really don't do this. Like, y'all are gonna get exposed, and they're getting exposed right now. Will anything come from this exposement? Probably not, because that's the way this all works. But look, there's just so much conversation around all this Activision stuff. There's going to continue to be conversation around it all, and I just think that every single week there's just going to be more and more news that's just exposing all the bullshit that Bobby Kotick and his homies have been doing for way too long. So another one of those situations of just pay attention, just understand that this shit is going on and the ramifications that it can have. But yeah, is this a surprise? Absolutely not. This is just business as usual for how this type of stuff works. But this is shady business. This is not how business should be done usually.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you where we will be seeing, like, not even just the ripple effects, but just more and more splashes of information that drop at any given time of just there are so many investigations going on related to everything surrounded either Activision, Bobby Kotick, the combination, and now, you know, there's also, of course, like the upcoming Microsoft element of it all. So, you know, we'll see what comes of this. I am not sure, like, how, what kind of challenges, like, lie ahead in terms of being able to prove that or not, because, as, you know, this person stated, they sort of, you know, saw the writing on the wall of there's going to be some form of a shift. And while I think a lot of us were sort of surprised by the acquisition occurring, it also kind of was like, okay, well, what's going to happen with Activision? It's not so shocking that something like this would happen. And I think especially once we started hearing about how the process went and how they were sort of trying to like sell themselves to varying companies, and various companies were like, no, not for like this amount of money. And they kind of had to, I wouldn't say had to take the Microsoft deal, but it was not, they were looking for maybe to get more for the company than what they ended up getting, even though that price point was, you know, insane. So, you know, hopefully if wrong was done, that justice is seen. But I feel like even just saying that, it's like, is it ever? The odds aren't great. But I did find this to be an interesting one in terms of just everything, looking at that acquisition and the feelings surrounding that acquisition and the, you know, how just it was or how it wasn't, or the things going on behind the scenes. And this, I guess, is sort of a little bit of a window into how there may be some things behind the scenes that, you know, weren't supposed to be going down the way they were. Again, this is all just kind of stuff being investigated. Nothing's been concluded yet. So we'll see what ends up coming of this. But definitely a very serious accusation is being made here, alongside many serious accusations that will continue to be coming up, I think, as we continue to see more and more behind the story, the company, and the people involved in it.
It's just a coinkydink. Like, oh, you know what? It's been years, and I just now I decided to invest in Activision. Now is the time that I'm going to get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to lighter news with the new Final Fantasy 35th anniversary website celebrating the series history, teasing info on upcoming titles. This comes from Wesley LeBlanc over at Game Informer, just to kind of add that additional background and context to that website dropping. So 2022 is Final Fantasy's 35th anniversary, and Square Enix has celebrated by creating a website to celebrate that and tease the information about new games and more. The website is a bit light on content right now, featuring just a handful of messages, a live feed of the Final Fantasy Twitter accounts, a portal to news, but it could be the host of new information about upcoming Final Fantasy games soon. We will continue to work hard making each Final Fantasy game one that you will remember for a long time. Final Fantasy VII Remake producer Yoshinori Katase writes in a message on the site. The Final Fantasy 35th site will support new releases, sharing info on upcoming titles and merchandise. I hope you're excited for what's on the way for Final Fantasy. Elsewhere on the site, Square Enix writes that in this 35th anniversary, we will be bringing you many exciting new ways to enjoy the worlds of Final Fantasy, and that fans should please look forward to what Final Fantasy has in store. As for what's in store this year, Chocobo GP hits Switch tomorrow on March 10th, then Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, a Final Fantasy 1 spinoff developed by the team behind the popular Neo series, hits PlayStation, Xbox Series X/S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on March 18th. And while not confirmed for 2022, there's also the chance that Final Fantasy 16, a PlayStation console exclusive, releases this year, which would make it quite a Final Fantasy lineup in 2022. Tim, what are your predictions, excitement for Final Fantasy and its 35th anniversary and what this site means? And then just kind of how anniversaries are approached in general. Like, do you expect to see like hard-hitting stuff? Are you disappointed if you don't? What's your read on this?
I think that expecting anything from video game anniversaries is silly. I think that at best, it's one of those things where if they already have a plan to do something and it lines up, then they get to take advantage of it and like make it a big flashy thing. But I think the time has proven to us that we should never expect something just because it's an anniversary for a franchise. Especially, I want to go back to Yoshinori's actual letter itself, because I liked how it began, where he started saying V equals 30, VII equals 25, XI equals 20. What do you think these numbers mean? They're actually the anniversaries of Final Fantasy titles this year. Every year, a number of titles celebrate their anniversaries. But if you think about it, so many from one series lining up in such a way is pretty unusual. And you know what, Yoshinori? When I think about it, it is pretty unusual. But I enjoy it so much that Final Fantasy is this franchise that has been around long enough to be able to celebrate anniversaries of multiple classic titles. Like, that is so damn cool. Those games are all beloved. And when you start looking at what they're teasing now, it is pretty funny that it's like going from the hype of that to new titles, Chocobo GP and Stranger of Paradise. It's like, oh, okay. that, all right, I guess that's what we're doing.
Some but people there are is... excited for Stranger of Paradise, and yeah, a few sure. less are excited for the Chocobo Racing, though. I don't know, apparently those games hit at one point. I have not digged into Chocobo Racing.
And but they do have the and more dot dot dot. So that's the that thing is, more. does that and more actually mean anything? I don't think it does. I think that that's just them leaving themselves open for, hey, potentially something else will happen.
Like, you know, a mobile game no one wanted, a jacket that looks ugly, like the
exactly options are, something with a lot
statue,
of belts on
a
it,
a poorly made statue, like. Who's to say what could be there?
Exactly. But I do think that there is a chance Final Fantasy 16 comes out this year. And again, people are going to say I'm crazy for that, but I think that there is a chance. I don't think it's the most likely thing, but I also think that there is a likely chance we'll hear about Final Fantasy 16 today during the State of Play, because they're talking about Japanese publishers. They had last said that in the spring we're going to hear more about Final Fantasy 16, so maybe we'll get that. I'm excited to hear more about it. I'm very, very, very excited to hear about Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. I just want that game to be announced. Like, we know what's happening, but I want it to be officially announced so then we can start actually working towards the whole inevitable delays and, like, pushbacks and millions of trailers and all that stuff. But, like, let's get that process started because we're not even in that yet.
Yeah, I'm really waiting for that as well, as someone that played Final Fantasy VII Remake 1. I don't know what we're retroactive. What are we retroactively going to call these, do you think? And is it going to be based on what the second one is called? Like, yeah. If the second one was called Integrade, would we call the first one? Is it always going to be one, part one?
Well, I feel like it really depends on how they end up titling it, because knowing Square, there's no predicting this. Like, they literally could be like, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 was actually called Final Fantasy 17. We're like, why? And they're just like, yeah. And we're like, all right, Square. Or it'd be called like Duodessa Mukamakam. And we're like, I guess.
If they called it one, we'd call the other one zero. We're like base, original,
there was
the
a
beginning.
Final Fantasy zero at some, God, Final Fantasy, God bless you.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, Chad did point out that tomorrow's Mario Day. How are you celebrating Mario Day tomorrow?
I don't, you know, it's one of those, for those who celebrate, I do not.
Really? It crept up on me. I forgot. No. I've done big things before, but is there any like video game anniversary, or what was the last video game anniversary that you did something for, whether it was content, whether it was personal, or just ones that like you notice and, you know, retweet or get excited about or like to acknowledge?
Oh, the last anniversary I did something for was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1. Nice. On the 20th anniversary. We did a stream for that. But yeah, that's it. We're kind of boring.
I mean, see, that should just be what the website is. It's like, yeah, you know, it's happening, but like, you know, it's just another day, really. Let's go ahead and jump over to more game news in the way of releases, delays, etc. We have Advance 1+2 Reboot Camp is being delayed. This was also, it's been like the era of like unceremonious tweets of like, here's just the information. And I think, you know, nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just want the info out there instead of it linking to something bigger. So Nintendo had tweeted out, in light of recent world events, we have made the decision to delay Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp, which was originally scheduled to release on Nintendo Switch on April 8th. Please stay tuned for updates on a new release date. Do you think we're going to get this game this year?
Oh, yeah, I think we're getting it this year. I mean, the game was already, this is now its second delay. First delay, yes. It was supposed to come out in December, and then first delay was for, like, the game's not ready and everything. The game is clearly ready now, but they're just delaying it because of world events. So I imagine that, yeah, April, we're early enough that I think things will hopefully change for the positive enough that this game can be released. I do see them releasing it within 2022. I think that this is pretty big news, right? Like, when we look at a lot of the things the games industry has been doing with the whole Russia situation, a lot of it's just been kind of like ceasing sales over there and all of that, or donations and this and that. This is kind of different because this is more just a sensitivity thing about like the content of the game itself. And for them to make this decision, it's not just like, oh, we're just delaying the game. It's not like it's digital only. Like, this April 8th is close enough that I imagine this is going to have ramifications on distribution of the product, and like Target's probably going to have to deal with it in a weird way. Like, there's like a lot of things that I wouldn't be surprised if this game is going to be sitting in a bunch of boxes somewhere, just not being sold, which in the past history of video games never proves to be a good thing for that game, because that is where piracy runs amok.
Yeah, like I also agree with you with it being sort of a a somewhat unique situation, but I think we'll also see more of that. And I think we've even probably, there are probably things behind the scenes that have happened in this regard as well that we maybe just aren't aware of, whether it's like releases, DLCs, skins and things. And I know some people might think, okay, what, you know, maybe they think this is like an overreaction because of the kind of game it is. It's not like it's, you know, a realistic style, but I think it's just the idea of the content and what it is. Like the timing just doesn't feel right for them. And I think, you know, it's always nice to err on the side of, in my opinion, to err on the side of caution in terms of trying to, you know, respect the situation or respect people's feelings. Like, you know, I think if you're upset by this, that says more about you in a negative way than if you're like really happy about this because you felt like it wasn't appropriate. So on that, you know, it's good to err on that side of like, what is the most appropriate for the situation? And yeah, you know, I think this makes a lot of sense. I wonder what they're really going to base when they release it on, because unfortunately, I don't know, much like other crazy things happening in the world, you know, the pandemic, other just like situations, like I don't know when it's going to seem more appropriate. But I think if nothing else, the delay is a nice gesture towards, hey, we're aware of this and we're really trying to be mindful in how we approach, you know, marketing and how we do our things. And they even mentioned that, I think, for the most recent, oh, for Pokemon Day, where they were like, hey, mm-hmm. Pokemon Day, it was already going down. Like, and obviously that's like, people are gonna say it's Pokemon Company, not Nintendo, but I get so, y'all know why I'm mentioning Pokemon Day. It's just another example in gaming of that, of saying, hey, we already have this there. We can't stop it. If we could, we would have, but like, it's so tied to these dates. But as a result, we're not really going to be talking about it very much. So like, hey, we're putting out the content. If you're in the know and you're excited, you're following it along. And if you're not, you know, you'll get that marketing wave as we slowly start to release that. And, you know, we saw a lot of this again with the pandemic comparison of companies like that have pandemic related content in their games, kind of, yeah, being more mindful of that or changing things up, or even like, you know, Last of Us changed their anniversary date from like Outbreak Day to like I think just Last of Us Day or something like that. So just seeing shifts like that, just to be, you know, more mindful, more sensitive, and also to I think put on the radar that like, hey, we're a company that is paying attention to this. We are more than just our product and our games, and maybe by us doing this, it kind of hits you different. You know, if you're an Advanced War fan, if you're a Nintendo fan, you're like, oh, this is something that obviously you should be paying attention to stuff anyway, but it helps like when communities band together like this, I think it helps reinforce, hey, this is something that us and our community should be paying attention to. We should be mindful of. It's something that we're mindful of. And it's, you know, really them role modeling that behavior, I think, for their fans, which, you know, is something really important to do. I think, especially, you know, in times like this. On that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Remember that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. If you've ever been on the bus or the train with someone who's taking a phone call on speaker, you know that everyone who can hear them now knows a bunch of their private business. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing, so don't be that person. Did you know your ISP knows every single website you visit, and then they can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who can use that data to target you? Well, ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep in on your online activity. The best part of it is how easy it is to use. You just fire up the ExpressVPN app and click a button on any device. I've been using this forever. Kind of Funny's been staying safe on the internet with ExpressVPN, and they're right. It could not be easier to use. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. ExpressVPN.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Upstart. If you've got multiple credit card balances each month and are getting by just paying the minimums, barely making a dent into your credit card debt, it can be pretty dang discouraging. Upstart can help you pay off your existing debt quickly so you can feel like you're finally getting ahead. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows that you are more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use the URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Babbel for sponsoring this episode. There's nothing worse than traveling abroad and looking like an idiot because you didn't bother to learn the slightest bit of the country's language. That's why Greg Miller has been using a little Babbel to learn French to speak to Genevieve. Babbel is the addictively fun, fast, and easy language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and you can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been helping Greg Miller be able to communicate with Jen's extended family. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code kindoffunny. That's BABBEL.com, code kindoffunny. Funny Babbel, language for life. And shout out to Chime. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVS's. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make your first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. chime.com/kfgames.
F-Zero's coming to the Nintendo Switch. Again, we got another unceremonious tweet. Woo! It's there. Comes to Nintendo Switch for Nintendo Switch Online plus expansion pack members on March 11th. So in just like 2 days from now. Tim, obviously you sound very excited about this. What's up?
F-Zero in any way being playable on any system makes me very, very, very happy.
F-Zero X specifically, to clarify. Yeah,
that is one of my favorite in the franchise. I'm waiting for GX. The GameCube one is my favorite for sure. But this is a fantastic game. 60 frames per second. It's going to come fast and it's going to be furious. And that's the way I like my video games. Love seeing the N64 Switch library kind of expand little by little, month over month. But we're getting there to the point of having kind of all the necessary classics. It's been a very long time since I played F-Zero X, so I'm happy to get back into this, go through all the Grand Prix and all that stuff. But this game is awesome.
Now that we're, you know, starting to get further into things, I feel like we have more content, you know, both in this F-Zero X thing and other content that's released. And then we had the mention of, you know, the Mario Kart update, which was lightly contentious. I mean, I think everyone likes Mario Kart, so it's like, that's exciting. But then, you know, there's other layers to it, too. How do you feel about the expansion? How did you feel about it before, like when it first launched, the expansion pack? And how do you feel now? Is it the same? Is it different? You love it? Do you hate it? What would you rate it? Where are you at with it?
I have always been on the exact opposite side of you when it comes to the Nintendo Switch expansion pack, where I am a strong proponent of it. I love it. I think it's a great value. And I think that value's only kind of been added to, and my point's just been proven more and more and more. That's how people's opinions work. They kind of see stuff. They're like, yeah, look, I was right. But I'm sure that you could look at it and be like, look, I was right. But especially with the Mario Kart stuff, and as they've kind of continued to fix a lot of the problems that were there, like the emulation issues on the N64 and all that stuff, still not perfect, still a ton of things that I wish we could have. The fact that we can't get rid of the UI on the emulator blows my mind. It really bothers me. And I'm like, yo, come on, guys. Come on. It's such a simple thing. But hey, that's the Nintendo way. Weird Nintendo decisions. But yeah, March 18th, we're getting more Mario Kart tracks for the first time in almost a decade, and that is so close. We're a little over a week away from new Mario Kart. I can't believe it. But yeah, F-Zero's coming. I'm a happy camper.
I still don't know where I will be. And I don't know how many of y'all in chat are like also like I have in the boat of like have not bought the expansion pack update yet or like the upgrade to it. Especially because for me, if I go expansion pack, that means I now have to have it under my name, because right now I'm under my brother's and he's like, I'm not paying for that expansion pack. So like if we get the expansion pack, then I got to be like, OK, I'm taking over the family account and I'm going to, you know, take this expansion pack. I've yet to get it, but I will admit that I'm getting dangerously close to it being like just making more financial sense to get it, because I did buy the Animal Crossing DLC, but I already had like the points in there for that. Again, we were, you know, during the break, we were talking about the, like the Starbucks points and like it's free because I already had the points in there. Like I already had the money loaded in for that. Nintendo's reward system is pretty good too, with like getting kind of the coins back for the purchases. But I'm probably also going to get the Mario Kart one. And I'm like, now I'm in this weird game of betting on like, when they do like Breath of the Wild 2 DLC, would I want that? And like the answer is probably not. But you know, like it's like what's gonna. But then also, since I'm already not in it, I just don't know what I'm gonna do. What should I? Should I just? You probably think I should just buy it, but I'm just curious.
What I think you should do is go to Kind of Funny Slack or Kind of Funny Reddit or anything, and just be like, hey, who wants to join into a family? Just
find
group
a new family. I have a family group.
Well, okay, then convince that family group that for a couple dollars a year more to get this thing.
Do you have it maxed out?
I don't, but like, you know? I'll be honest. Like, I don't care to like, I don't want to get involved in. I want to be with who I'm with.
You hate money, you know?
I want the commitment. Here's the thing, because I've done the like, oh, what if we all tag team? You know, I had my friend on Spotify. He left my Spotify. Now I'm down to two people on the Spotify. I can't get more people on the Spotify. Also, no, I'm not inviting y'all into my Spotify family plan either. Like, it's just like I feel like I hate to see it, but like. I want longevity in my team, and I feel like I have longevity in my brother, his fiance, soon to be wife. Like that is a squad that is down packed, you know, like that's in it for the years.
But you don't think adding blessings, it would just make everything better? I just feel like.
Doesn't Blessing already have? I feel like Blessing's taken care of. Blessing has a family.
Yeah, he's paying on his own like a psychopath.
He's paying on his own?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'd have to like take that up with my brother, who's like the head of the family account. But I don't know. Let me know. Is this y'all out here with your makeshift family account? Like my family account is like it's blood. It's law. It's legally binding here.
Oh, yeah. I am so willy-nilly with it. I'm like, I'm all about saving money. Why would we not? They make it so simple and so easy. I think it's already not that expensive. And then to allow the amount of people on this thing to get it down to the price that it allows you to, I think it's just a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, too, I'm really trying to be better about what am I actually playing? Like, am I really going to be in like the DLCs I have played? Like, I've played the Animal Crossing one. I probably will play the Mario Kart one, but I don't see like I love F-Zero and I think it's really, you know, I want to see all the classic games show up to this library. Even if I'm not like using the library right now, I just think it makes like for me, I want to see the service be really good. And that's why I haven't upgraded, because I haven't felt like it has given me the reasons to do that yet. But I think, you know, there are definitely some good steps in the right direction. I think the N64 era of Nintendo Online has definitely been a lot stronger than their original launch, which was like kind of like middling. But I do wish that didn't come at the cost of like having a separate tier. I just wish they kind of like had built it already as is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on it. I mean, I'm not against it on like a incredibly deep level, but I'm trying to think of what makes sense for me and my plans and for me having my, I also like having my freedom too. If I'm locked into the family plan through the Mario Kart thing, I'm kind of living there forever. Like, what if I just bought that? Because I don't play a lot of the DLCs either. So I don't know. I'm out here playing this math game.
The way I look at it is, and I'm not trying to say that it's for everybody, but I'm trying to say that for a Nintendo fan, I struggle to see how it's not for you when, cool, the Animal Crossing DLC, absolutely not for me. Like that, I'm never going to touch that ever. I have access to it. I'm never going to touch it. Mario Kart DLC, specifically the way that they're doing it, where we're about to get legitimately double the tracks that we got from the, not even just the core game plus DLC. Like that is an insane amount of new Mario Kart content that we're going to get sprinkled across the next 2 years. Like that to me is like the perfect type of thing of, yeah, that's why you'd subscribe to a long-term plan for this, because you're going to be getting content that I actually want to play throughout the next 2 years, right? And that's on top of the other things that they're going to add and all the other, just the Switch Online or Switch, the emulator shit that they have on the Switch that I do play often enough that I'm like, hey, it's worth it for me.
Also, the Obi-Wan thing, I think, does exist, since you were asking about that. Yes. So there you go. Speaking of stuff that's for us in terms of updates, I really want to quickly give a nod to this month's Xbox updates. It's like, you know, stuff on the system level of things. They posted it up on their site. And it's just things like pin to quick resume, where you can have, like, within the groups tab, like, you can have those separately pinned, how you have, like, the apps pinned. The share button can be remapped, which is, like, you can change it to, and I'm like, what would you remap it to? But actually, I think that the use cases are kind of nice. Things like, you know, muting the TV, opening your friends list, opening achievements. Like, admittedly, I'm not constantly sharing stuff like screenshots and videos all the time. So I could see definitely the benefit there. General firmware updates and new audio stuff with the new audio setup wizard, which basically lets you test and verify your HDMI format when you connect your speakers. Just kind of gives you a way to more easily configure for the best audio settings. But reading through this, I came up with this question that I want to ask you. One, well, you know, what do you think of the update? Are you interested in it? But two, what features and updates do you still want from Xbox? And then what would be your dream, this style post that Xbox always does these like new style posts. Mm-hmm. This on the Nintendo and or PlayStation side, what would be your dream kind of quick hit updates that you'd see from those teams?
I do want to say that all of these updates speak to me very loudly. I love this type of stuff. I think Xbox has done a fantastic job adding to its UI and to continue to kind of care about tech in a way that I haven't seen from PlayStation and definitely not from Nintendo. But this audio setup wizard, this is the type of stuff I live for. I absolutely love it. I want to know that I'm getting the highest quality sound output, both from headphones for Dolby Atmos headphone stuff and for home theater speakers. So I love that they actually care about that shit. The share button remapping, I'm a big proponent of being able to remap buttons and allow them to do whatever the hell you want them to, especially for things like the share button that I would be willing to bet are the least used button on a controller ever. So to actually turn that into something that's useful is really, really valuable. And even the pin to quick resume, like, great, cool. They're clearly seeing the way that people are playing these games, and with features like quick resume being so important to what makes the Xbox Series X special. I love that they're like, cool, let's add some stuff that enhances the player experience. Then yeah, let's go over to Sony and Nintendo, where they just don't do that often. I think that Sony, it's a little bit less iterative, and it's more kind of every once in a while there'll be a big sweeping, here's a bunch of changes, but the changes never seem to be the things people are asking for. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but in my experience, like, I am not getting these things where all of these things you just named, I'm like, okay, I have a use case for this. Whereas with PlayStation, some of the stuff I'm like, that's what you're changing? Okay, I guess. And meanwhile, Nintendo is just like, hey, here's still the two same themes that we launched with. Cool.
But the question is, what theme are you rocking on the Nintendo Switch, though? Light theme or dark theme?
Oh, it's dark theme.
There you go. So really, there's one theme. There's like the bad theme, and then there's the dark theme.
And look, there's nothing wrong with using the light theme, all right? Some people just like it better.
On the Switch?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you know, I noticed that every time you pull up assets, too, because your computer is also in that light theme.
I like
it's blinding. No, gosh.
I think it makes my eyes strong, and I have very strong eyes. And I'm not a big carrot man, so it's not my diet.
Well, I do have glasses, so I can't really throw rocks from my glass house. But yeah, it's certainly the light theme, which definitely affected me a lot when I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s. Was totally looking at a bunch of screens and not just the poorly lit Game Boy that I had. But so from the Nintendo PlayStation side of things, you know, you mentioned those. What would you like to see from those two teams?
I mean, I would like updates? To. I mean, for okay, this gets complicated because it's not even so much like firmware stuff, but it's just like I really would love Nintendo to just at the very least have their UI and stuff be 4K, because when you're playing it on a modern TV, it looks like garbage no matter how beautiful the game is. Like, everything just looks fuzzy, and I hate that. It drives me nuts. So I would love to see that type of upgrade, but again, I think that comes with the new system. I don't know why that wasn't functionality built into the Switch OLED, but alas, here we are. And then in terms of the rest of the stuff, like, I do think that I would appreciate more of this kind of like high level home theater type stuff of like being able to make sure signals are going out right. Being able to make profiles for that, I think, would be really cool. Like, it sucks having to switch between HDR on or HDR off depending on what we're doing, and it changing like a bunch of other settings and messing with stuff. But and then on top of that, just like better integration of 3D audio stuff on the PlayStation side. Like the fact that Xbox has its like licensing agreement with Dolby Atmos, it's like, oh great, that leaves PlayStation to kind of have to do its own thing, which means that it's not as widely used for in its video games and all that stuff. And there's just a lot of that type of shit that's really nitty-gritty nerd shit, but that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I just think the profile thing would be a cool thing. I don't have a TV that has, none of my TVs have that compatibility, so I don't have that problem specifically. But I do, even on the Switch end, like, and I don't know if this is unique to like how my displays are set up, but like on some TVs, I need to resize the Switch screen to like 96%, and then on others, it's like 100, and I have to do that resize every time I'm changing
stuff. What's up with that?
I don't know, and it's like the weirdest small odd thing. And then the worst is that like sometimes, you know, because it'll be like too big for certain displays, and it's like just barely too big where I'm like, maybe I'll just leave it. Like, do I need to see the bottom of the screen? It's kind of fine. I also, you know, a lot of people in the chat are mentioning folders for these like places. Yeah, I think I'd like folders as well. I was like not team folders for a long time, but I feel like I have so many little things now, especially because y'all keep harassing me to redeem all these PlayStation games that I'm never gonna play on PS Plus. Like, if I just toss this into like the folder of obligation, that would be, you know, nice to be able to just kind of map those things. And of course, themes for both of them. I mean, I think I kind of like having the sleekness of the PS5 UI look, to be honest. Like, I did have fun with the funky Life is Strange ones on the PS4, but I think having the option is always nice because it can only benefit people that want that option, while like not having it at all does leave a certain sector of the audience, I think, just wanting. But updates like that are so far away. If I want to know what's coming to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
As far as out today, I want to give a shout out to the Janet, patch
Janet,
1.0.
Janet, there's a music playing.
Oh. No one ever told me that that was on purpose. Also, the last time that happened, I like had no idea what was going on, yep. And I was and so you, thrown by and it, and I'm also, like, "What is going on?"
You had like a serious moment too, where you said something, and I was like, "Ah, oh, I should not have pressed that button. Should not have pressed that button."
Yeah, it's fair. No, I totally was like, "I." And then there's always that game of like, sometimes I hear stuff, and I'm like, do only I hear this? Do other people hear this? You know, it's a fun throwback to like when I first started doing this and missed like the 80 things. But you know why I missed that too? Is because normally I write a note. This is like behind the scenes stuff. Normally I add a note underneath that call out that says weird like sounds, beeping sounds, noises.
Yep.
And I haven't added that in the doc in a while, so I'll need to go back and re-add that in, but thank you for that call out. Out today, a quick shout out to patch 1.2 for Dying Light 2 Stay Human, which is now live on PC with console drops around the corner. Patch implements a wide variety of player requested features, such as more immersive details in melee combat, more intense chase sequences during night, big improvements to combat and gameplay balance, and a new high performance preset on PC that renders the game playable on older computers and laptops. These new additions come alongside a horde of a horde of technical improvements, probably from the fixing of all known death loops, not to be confused with Death Loop, the critically acclaimed game, to the removal of black screens and crashes under certain conditions. Real quick, I also want to give a shout out for deals of the day. There's a huge sale on PlayStation right now for a bunch of different indie titles, so go hit that up. Stuff like Kena Bridge of Spirits is on there, and a bunch of other dope games that we've talked about to varying degrees across all of our shows, so go hit that up for sure. As far as you're wrong, let's see if anyone told us how old we are. yeah, Bannon, yes, Nana, the weird tech trailer, whatever have you. Let's see. I don't think there's too much in here. Tim, in case you're wondering, Google says you're 32.
Thanks, Google.
Is that an official correction, or is that just like you're passing the buck to Google, and now Google has to be it. Right? And then that's about it. You know, people shouting out like Nintendo's Bluetooth edition that got added a while back.
That was big.
But yeah. Barrett, what's good? Are you just here for later? You're probably here for later.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're here for later. Okay, yeah, sure. tomorrow's hosts are, we have Greg and Samoa Joe, and then on Friday we have a Blast and a Zach Zawizen. And if you're watching live after this is a charity stream where Mike is playing a Breath of the Wild for the first time ever, and again you can go to kindoffunny.com/Ukraine to go ahead and donate to that. Mike saving one of the greatest games, if not the greatest of all time, game of all time, for a very noble cause. So I'm just, man, that's such, that is going to be such a fun stream, because like there are so few people who can even do a stream like that at this point in society, that I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun to go check out, and for a good cause. And if you want to catch that stream later, go subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those who are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. And otherwise, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.